Okay, we're going to work towards getting started. And we're going to get going with a couple of questions. And we're going to try and group these questions. We're only going to have time for probably five questions. So it's just 9 o'clock now. So I've taken a look at the questions, and I'm going to start with this one. And maybe go between Linda and Gordon. And the question is, what is the most effective way to make corporations and government regulators represent us who want a safe, healthy environment? So, okay.
Well, I wish I knew. I really have come to believe that it's very important to interpret democracy as much more than just electing people, that democracy has to be like a daily thing. We really have to make these issues part of our political life. Most politicians never hear from people about these issues. And my observation has been that the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, for example, acts as a kind of a lightning rod or a firewall to prevent the politicians from dealing with these issues, our elected people, our elected representatives. I think we have to really get the elected representatives concerned about this issue. And they may not be concerned about a lot of things, but they are concerned about numbers. And when they start getting thousands of letters or hundreds of letters even, they do pay attention. They really do. And so I think that the best thing I can do is say, let's put democracy into action. Let's really insist that this gets out into the public through the media, that it gets out into the public through word of mouth, through individual action and self-education so that you can help to educate others. And also really bugging the political representatives that they take an action on this and do not allow the regulators of the industries to get away with things they shouldn't be getting away with. That's all I can say, and I don't know how effective that is, but I don't think there's any other magic solution.
And proportional representation.
That would help.
Yeah. Would you like to comment on that?
I found it an extremely difficult and frustrating task. And I think what Gordon says about numbers is important. And that means partly lots of people writing letters. Letters are good, actually. I've had good luck with letters. And it means communicating with your friends, with each other, raising awareness of the issue. A lot of people are totally unaware of it, and you can change that pretty easily, and just encourage them to do the same. It's kind of a slow process.
Oh, could I just add one thing? I do think you mustn't overlook the fact that, you know, this is your community and that you can affect your own city council, you can affect your own. They can decide that they don't want this facility here. And the fact that there's contaminated soil that's going to be around for over 100 years that they are going to have to deal with, that's something that you can use to motivate your local representatives to deal with this. In Brampton, I believe it was Brampton, they had a facility that was so-called recycling, quote-unquote recycling, radioactive metal. And after a couple of presentations to the city council, they just made them unwelcome and they left town. So I do think that you mustn't overlook the fact that you don't have to depend upon Ottawa or the regulator. You can take action in your own community to make sure that if there's something you don't want, it doesn't happen here.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. Another question. Concerning the claim that lifestyle cannot mitigate harm done by radiation, how could this be possible? How could this possibly be concluded? Is it not true that certain foods like miso and green tea can prevent sickness caused by radiation exposure? Would you like to try that?
Yes. Assuming that you've got the exposure, I mean, part of lifestyle is putting yourself in and out of harm's way, basically, but assuming that you have the exposure, have been exposed, there's some evidence that has come out of the Chernobyl area recently. There's been a big release of information from there, And there are some researchers that have found that antioxidants such as vitamin A, vitamin C, that sort of thing, do have a protective effect, do help the body repair the damage that's done by radiation, at least some of it. So that is one small thing that you can do as a lifestyle. I can't comment on miso. Green tea does have antioxidants in it. So there's some possibilities. It's all kinds of stories out there, all kinds of information that's not validated. But this information comes from some of the studies there, and I'm using vitamin C from time to time. We live in an area where there's uranium in the rock. So, yeah, there are some small things you can do. What you have to do after radiation exposure basically is repair. So fitness, good diet, protein, you know, just looking after your general health will allow that repair to be done more easily. That's pretty much all I can say on that topic.
If I could just quickly, I'll just quickly add that I didn't mean to be so dogmatic about it. I just think that you are at a disadvantage when you're being exposed to something you don't even know how much you're being exposed to or where you're being exposed to it. In Japan, unfortunately, people are finding that the green tea is contaminated more heavily than other things, that the seaweed, which is oftentimes very, very healthy, has some of the highest levels of contamination from Fukushima, and that even the shiitake mushrooms right now, there was a report that the shiitake mushrooms, which are revered in Japan as a healthy thing, have very heavy contamination. So all I'm saying is that you're at a great disadvantage when you allow the community to suffer this kind of insult. And then you have to say, well, what can I do to kind of mitigate against that? There's nothing like prevention.
Great. Thank you very much. So following that, another question was, would you please give advice on writing interventions for the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission hearing on Shield Source? I'm going to answer that. The intervention deadline is passed. It was April 2nd. The hearings are on May 2nd. And we feel when we decided to put on this event, we decided it was not too late to drum up public opposition to the relicensing of Shield Source. So what we think it's going to count quite a bit, actually. So one of our members, Jess Rowland, developed a form letter. Jess, is that back at the table? There's a are there Zach or
we can put it up.
Put them on.
We will.
And,
we
and you can if you can mail them through to Sage as well as to the CNSC, so we can track how many there were, so they can't just ignore them.
Yes, and you can write your own letters. We've put together an excellent brochure. Are there any brochures left back there, Sherry?
A couple.
There's a lot of information just packed. Super amount of information into this brochure, so you can take from that.
We have stickers here. There's lots of different places you can take them and put our Facebook.
Yeah. Tritium Awareness, Peterborough.
And we meet usually every Thursday, and everybody here will be welcome to join in those meetings.
So we will make sure we put information up on Facebook within the next day or two. So please keep writing in, because one thing I've found is make CCs of those letters. If you write one letter, make copies of it, send it to Jeff Leal. That's the other thing we haven't mentioned, is this issue crosses many governmental boundaries. It's a municipal issue, it's a provincial issue, and it's a federal issue. So if you write one letter, make three CCs, send it to Dean Del Mastro, send it to Jeff Leal, send it to the city councillors here in Peterborough. Are there any city councillors here tonight? No, they were all invited through Dean Pappas.
We have a counselor from Catherine Monaghan present.
Oh, fantastic. Good stuff. Thank you. So if you do write a letter, send it, make carbon copies and old school carbon copies, and send it to all levels of government. Get, again, the most bang for your buck. And were the principals of Shield Source invited to this meeting? And I'm going to ask Sage folks, Jess, were they? Did we invite Shield Source?
Yes, they were invited.
Yes, they were invited. Is there anyone here from Shield Source here tonight? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Okay, I think we've got time for probably one more question. And sorry for the time, but we just limited time in the facility. Is there really no legal requirement for Shield Source to track and reclaim the tritium in its signs? And how can the government legally sell radioactive waste when they can't guarantee it will be used or disposed of safely?
One of the concerns that my organization, the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, has is that in recent years, this actually happened in 2008, the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission authorized the idea that radioactive waste, if it's below certain concentrations, it can simply be disposed of in landfills or any kind of... it doesn't require any further tracking. And we feel that there is a great push on by the nuclear industry and the regulatory agency to allow the discharge of a lot of radioactive waste into consumer goods and into ordinary waste landfills as a way of getting rid of the responsibility of safeguarding it. In the past, we were always led to believe that they would guard, for as the OPG website says about the tritium, that this will be regarded and sequestered from the environment and not be allowed to be disseminated. This is now being changed. And I don't know if any of you heard about the steam generators that Bruce Power wanted to send over to Sweden, these contaminated steam generators. Well, that's part of the same deal. They were going to take this radioactively contaminated metal, melt it down, and blend it with non-contaminated metal, and then pretend that there was no contamination whatsoever, that it was just plain old scrap metal. And even the scrap metal industry is against this. They're completely against it. They say we would not willingly handle radioactively contaminated scrap metal. But the industry and the regulator are shoulder to shoulder promoting this idea that we can just put this stuff out there and forget about it.
I'm reminded of the little verse, Betty had a brick of bitter butter and a brick of better butter. She mixed the bitter butter with the better butter to make the bitter butter better, but she only made the better butter bitter.
Okay, that's fantastic. We should bring it to a close. I'm going to ask Gordon and Linda if they have any closing comments they'd like to make.
Thank you for being here and thank you for coming. That's a big one. I'm absolutely delighted to see lots and lots of faces here, and good luck with what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to also express my thanks for inviting me and for coming out this evening. The most important thing is don't let this stuff get you down. It's very depressing sounding, but you know what? Nothing makes you get undepressed faster than doing something about it. When I first got involved in this, I'll tell you, I went through a depressing period in my first year of being involved in this. I kept saying, what am I doing this for? This is crazy. My wife also reiterated the same questions. But you know, I've never regretted it. My children, my grandchildren, my family, we all feel better about ourselves and about the future of the planet by just being involved in trying to make things better. And what we really need to do is take inspiration from the people who defeated the apartheid regime in South Africa. the people in Poland, the Solidarity Movement, who overturned the entire Soviet Empire, the women down in Argentina who brought those horrible generals to account, if they can do it, for God's sake, we can certainly do it.
Hey, on behalf of Safe and Green Energy Peterborough, I would like to really thank all of you for coming tonight. And there are two things we're accomplishing by educating ourselves about this. We are learning about a hazard that the hard data says exists in this city. So we're opposing a health hazard that affects Millbrook, Peterborough, and who knows how far afield. Secondly, by opposing an industry like this, we are making it more difficult for the nuclear industry, building nuclear reactors that we don't need, and all the detrimental side effects of uranium mining, the decommissioning of reactors, radioactive waste. And we have a radioactive waste being used in our community, and I'd like to thank you for any of your efforts from this night forward around this, and thank you for educating yourselves on this issue. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Hey, have a great evening.